Checking in with Quincy City Council President, Councilor at Large Anne Mahoney, to get a little recap of how her summer has been going and a preview of what the fall is going to bring. Anne, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for taking a moment to check in with us. It's been a couple of months. How's your summer been?
It's been fantastic. It's so funny how fast summer goes, or how fast all of our seasons go, but we really focus on summer because the days are longer and it's just a great time of year. But then again, I love the fall too. So, you know, I'm loving the cool nights, wearing sweatshirts. It's perfect. So, I had a great summer though. It's good to be fall, going into the fall. So.
Yeah, I thought I'm going to be on vacation actually the week after Labor Day, so I thought we could maybe just check in with you to get a little preview of what you expect the council to tackle this fall.
Absolutely. Best time to go on vacation these days is after Labor Day. So
I'm hoping.
We're going to sneak another vacation probably in October, but yeah, that's my hope, like a long
Sure.
weekend in October or something. Yeah. So we had our agenda meeting. I don't have the actual agenda. It will be posted later on this afternoon, but I'd be happy to let people know a little preview of what's going to be coming. So, you know, it's the first meeting back. It's not going to probably have, there's not a ton of it on there, but there's going to be one presentation. So we have to review an open meeting law complaint that we had from June 22nd. And I think, and we'll do that first. That's going to be one of the first things we do. And then that was in regards to, I believe, the oversight meeting. And we'll deal with that when we come back. And then the other thing that we're going to have is we're going to have open forum. So we're going to definitely start with open forum. We're going to restate the rules of open forum so everybody can be on the same page. And we're going to be respectful, and we're hoping the audience will be respectful, and we encourage people to come and speak to us, but we're going to try to keep everybody respectful in that sense. And not by any means of changing, it's not what they're talking about, just making sure making sure we're ending at the time that we're supposed to end. And we'll deal with those things as we go forward. We have a resolution on the new Brill Field sport court hockey rink, and that's a request for the Parks Department to name it after Andrew DeBona. And Dave DeBona passed away this summer. It was a big loss for the community down in Housneck. He did a tremendous amount for the community in Housneck, from the summer to the Chowder Fest, to the winter festivals, everything, movie nights, you name it. Dave was doing it for his community. And he was also a master plumber, and he helped a lot of people in his community. And it's a devastating loss for many people, but most importantly, his family. And if this is just something that gives them a little bit of pause to have the community remember him, I think it would be a great gesture from the city. So that's one of the things that was brought in by Councillor Jacobs. Councillor Hubley is also bringing in a resolve requesting a comprehensive update on the municipal broadband project, and if there's a path forward. So we're just trying to figure out what's happening with that, and he's going to bring that to Munitech, I believe. He's just looking for, is it happening? Is it not happening? Is it tabled? Where does it stand? I believe that's the nature of what his resolve is. It's a good resolve to bring forward because it's just another project that we haven't had much communication on. And then we have an order from Council UN that's bringing forward the Quincy's use of flock cameras, the flock safety technology. And this is coming in from Susan, and she's looking to have potentially, I think it's going to go into oversight, and it's to have a public hearing to let people come and speak. We're getting a lot of emails from people both pro and against these things. And it's timely in the sense that a lot of communities are talking about it. So it's important that, you know, Quincy is part of that conversation too. And I believe Chief Kennedy is going to be there at our meeting to discuss flock cameras as well. So he'll have an opportunity to discuss it to the council that night, and then it will go into committee. And I think we'll have a public hearing on it. And then we'll have Chief Kennedy back to maybe follow up with some of the questions that people have. This isn't probably going to be a one small discussion because it's a pretty big thing that's going on in all these communities. And I think it's an important one to hear both sides of what the positives are and what the negatives are, and how we use it, how we're protecting it, what our policies are, just to do that check. You know, it's when used properly, obviously it can be very helpful for communities, but as we can see through the news that we're saying, sometimes it's not used properly. And I think there's also a question as to why we have flock cameras, but we're not using body cams. That's another piece. It's interesting. amazing that we have, state-of-the-art facility, but yet Quincy is one of the few police unions that don't have that don't have the body cameras. And I think there's some good discussion about that too. And I think it's just the nature of what makes everybody the safest, including the people who are doing the public safety, the police officers as well. So that's coming in from Council UN. We have a letter of support enforcing the ballot one question. So it's a letter of support for question one that's coming in from Councillor Riley. I believe question one on the November ballot is the state auditor's request. So I think she's looking for the council to just send a letter of support for that. And then finally, we have the Oversight of Public Works Enhancement Fund, which is Chapter 92, the Act of 2004. And this is really about Granite Links and the money that the public works that gets put into the public works funding and what it's used for. So there's an act that was adopted in the at the Mass General Law Fort Act nine Chapter 92 Water Enhancement Fund. So it was done in 2004. They have used some money over the years for things, but they're actually going to be using $700,000 for a parking lot in front of Nickerson Post that just went out for bid. And I think what happened over the summer, this happens oftentimes in municipalities, like, we asked for so Council UN asked for all of the capital projects, and we got a list of capital projects, and we got it late. But this one's not on it, and this would be considered a capital project. It's a parking lot, or it's use of it's it may be a different use of money because it's coming from the Granite Link source, but it's very specific in this order in Chapter 92, Act 2004, that money is supposed to be used for sidewalks and streets, and this is a parking lot. So it's questions whether or not we should be using it, and should we be using it for a parking lot in Squanum as opposed to the potential parking lots that we have problems with up at Granite Links for the ball fields and things. So it's again timely to be able to bring that in. We did have a meeting last night. The mayor had a meeting last night for Squanum residents discussing that very park that we're talking about, because it's also I think everybody remembers that the Aspire was moved out and moved to the Compass building, and that one of the buildings is going to be taken down, and one of the other buildings is going to be for the Native Americans to use as a community center, educational center, to bring some of their art and displays to the city. There's going to be a statue that's been I think it was already bid out, and there's another statue that's going to be going up. Originally, it was going to be about the sisters, the Squaw sisters, and now it's of I think it's of Wamputuck. It's going to be but it's a beautiful statue. Obviously, they had a statue there last night for us to take a look at. But one of the really questions that we're having here is that there was $60,000 taken from the CPA for a master plan, and there is no master plan. So what we were told last night, this is phase one. We're going to do the parking lot, enhance the parking lot, enhance the area, and then we'll move on to phase two, which is the museum or community center that they're talking about and cleaning up the park. The only concern that I have here, Joe, is that we tend to start with parking lots for dreams of what we want, and sometimes the dream doesn't come true. So an example of that would be right next to the Adams Academy, where we took two properties for a lot of money, and we basically said it was going to be the home of the Adams Museum, library, Adams Library, and we're in a battle for who owns the Adams Academy. It's costing the city a lot of money and resources to do this. We still don't have answers back. It's with the SJC, and I believe we've lost at least three times, but we're not keeping track of how many times we lose. We just keep saying we're going to keep doing it. And we have given up on that site because when we talk about where the Adams Library is going to go now, it's going to be in the Monroe Building. So what we have is two buildings that we took offline because it was historic, and the CPA money's you should not be, and it's an inappropriate use of the CPA monies to create a parking lot. But even further than that, that parking lot is only accessible through the Adams Academy parking lot. So we have no access to it too. So these are the things that when that happens and we say this is phase one and you don't have a master plan or a plan on how you're going to pay for it, it becomes very concerning. Now, the area that we're talking about, like right by Nickerson, I say Nickerson Post because everybody that's where really great people will think, but it's Squaw Rock is beautiful, is an absolutely beautiful vestibule, being able to see out into the water. It is absolutely beautiful, and it does deserve some attention and care. It's not that people don't want that. It's just normally before you go out for an RFP, you usually have the community meeting before we start doing these things, and they're having it post awarding somebody to do work that the neighbors didn't know they were doing. So I do think there's some people that are very excited about it and hopeful for it, and there are other people that are skeptical about it because we have seen those things happen. And really, it's another thing that we're putting onto when we take this on, it will eat into our budget again because it will be an operational thing that we'll have to take over. $700,000 from Granite Links might be quote unquote free money, but as we I've never seen free money. So you have to really plan on these things. And without a master plan and without knowing which way we're driving, we could go off a cliff if we're not careful. And we are, it's happening already. That $2 billion is eating into our operational budget, and it's going to be for the next several years. So we have to be careful about how we're doing those things and make sure that we can not only do them, but we can afford to maintain them. So that was really the gist of the meeting last night. We did have Ferris from the tribe, from his tribe, was here to talk, the Punkaw tribe, to talk to the audience, and he has a great story. This is it's more about catching everybody up on the master plan and how they're going to be able to do it before we invest the money. Because what we should be doing is, you certainly the Aspire has moved out. We certainly should be providing something to the Native American Indians. But what does that come with, and what's the cost to the community, and how can we budget that into our future? And again, the order, the Public Works Enhancement Fund, Chapter 92, the Act of 2004, you can look it up. It specifically says it's for sidewalks and streets, not for parking lots. So again, and we've also, I guess the finale of that, we have as a city council have also asked for an audit of all things with Granite Links, and we have yet to receive it. So before we start using money that we have been asking, requesting information for, a deep dive of, I believe it should have come to the council, and we should have had this discussion. But again, what I'm trying to explain is that this is something that's been talked about for the last 12 years. This is what we found out last night too. So I thought about that as I was standing there, and I did have my hand up for a while, and they wouldn't recognize me. That's fine. I've had my hand up before, and somebody said I should have a flashing glove to say I'm here, I'm here. But that's okay. But the question that I would have had is, you're 12 years into a conversation, and we've read things in the newspaper, but we've had no public hearings on this. And I'm going to just refresh everybody's memory to say this happened with the sailors, the sailor statue, that the statue for that was done via Marina Bay, and same room, same problem with, like, you wouldn't talk to us. And then we can go that we can go through the whole city about how we're not having public hearings on this. And what a huge missed opportunity for the city, because although it was for Squam residents, it's really the city of Quincy's residents' funds that are going there, and other wards may want to participate in the same free money for their areas. But we have a member of the mayor's staff that is being paid over $100,000 from the Comcast money. And we had a terrible the amplifier, the sound in there was terrible. They didn't have a mic set up for people to ask questions. The whole thing was really just felt awkward in that sense. But then the finale of that is, I saw some of the your board members were there, QATV's board members. But where was QATV, and why aren't we documenting this so that people can see it that couldn't come to the meeting? And those are the things that make it not as transparent or public, right? So we want the whole city to know what we're doing, not just in the nooks and crannies of what we're doing. We want to invite people to have these conversations. It's going to affect the people that are on Moon Island Road, but it's really important that, this is the first time they've had a public hearing on it, and they're saying they're going to have multiple more. I think we're a bit, that's the whole problem, is people are feeling like you're thinking about us after the fact, not during the fact. So our questions being asked may not be able to get answered, or just weren't. There was a couple of times that they said they weren't going to give the mic to a few people, and that was people who were going to ask questions about why the parking lot had to be so big. And that's not really a public process if you're not going to allow everybody to speak. There were great questions, both positive and not necessarily, I wouldn't say bad, but both positives and areas that could be improved. And that's the benefit of doing those kind of conversations prior to making any decisions for RFPs.
Should the ward councillor also have a, a community meeting about this, Anne?
Well, what's interesting about this is the ward councillor found the RFP, called the city about it. Then, she was, and then was told, no, she didn't get a note. So they sent out mailers to the residents. She did not get invited. She didn't get a mailing of it. It was in the Quincy Sun. But again, one would think that when she was elected, and we have been at City Hall multiple millions of times about things, why not sit down? We've met, she's met with Dave Murphy about several things. Why would this huge project that they're talking about for 12 years not be something that you would want to share with your ward councillor? Specifically, I will say the things that have changed since this new council has come in a different setting, the new councillor would have been one of the first people to speak. And in this particular case, she wasn't recognized. She was recognized to be in the room, but she wasn't recognized to speak until the end when lots of people had left. And it did not feel very collaborative. It did not feel it's one of those things where we're hearing all the time, like, my door is always open, just give me a call, we're all going to work together. But we're seeing that not happening, and it has to happen for really good community projects to happen. She's the ward counselor, she's here, she's hearing both sides of these things, and she needs to be part of the conversation. Prior to that meeting, she should have been brought in. She should have been, she was, we had, this is another thing. So typically in the past, you would have had the ward counselor sitting up in the front. So she would be with, she would have been with the Native American Ferris. I'm not sure what his title is, but his Ferris was up there. The designer of the statue, the base of the statue, was there. We had the engineer there. We had Dave Murphy there, and we had Mayor Koch there. But in the audience was the Ward 6 councilor. There was no chair. She wasn't invited to come up and sit there. She wasn't, and this might sound very critical, but it is. It is the government doesn't work just with one office. It works with all of our offices. And if she might have been brought into the project a little bit earlier, maybe she would have been, maybe these questions could have been answered. So, or some of the things that people were asking for could have been adapted before the bid went out. And one of the things that they said to us, the engineer said, is, well, we went out knowing that we would get a better price point if we went much bigger. We know we're about 25 or 30% higher than we need. So we know that we won't get charged that. Well, okay, but that's not always how it works either, because we can go out and do that, and it depends on how that RFP is written, because you can do that with streets, and you say, I'm going to get these three streets done, but you could actually maybe make the materials last, and you get five streets done. That's great, but we're talking about a parking lot in Swan. We don't we need to be accurate about what we're doing, and I love the idea of getting a better price point for something, but that shouldn't be the leading statement from the administration when they're talking to people about the money that's being spent. I don't think that's the highlight of the best. Of the best, if you know what I mean.
Okay, has the contract been awarded?
I believe it has, and it was the bid was they opened the bids last week, and I think they're I believe they are. I don't know who it was awarded to, but I believe it's been awarded. Now, the thing is that they're going to take the building down. That part's going to happen. That's not the part that they're looking to slow down on. And the question is from some of the people in that audience is this the right timing for this? Because we tend to do things. Again, I'm going to say I can point out another one. The General's Bridge, beautiful bridge was done. And a lot of people said it was the bridge to nowhere. And now we do have things that are being built. But if you look at the bridge, the cost of the bridge and the cost of going to be repairing the bridge because of what's there right now, because it's destroyed after all of the development that's been going on over there. The lights are broken, the things are falling off of it. And the question isn't that should we build a bridge before those things? The question is, we spent a lot of money to build a bridge that we're going to have to go back and refinish. And who's paying for that? And again, one might say the developers who are developing in that area will pay for it, but still, the damage is there. It's not really, and it wasn't like the bridge was needed to be able to bring equipment in. We had other ways to bring the equipment, and we could have probably built the bridge at the same time. I'm just saying that we invested a ton of money for something that is now being dismantled and has problems with it. And I don't know about you, but like when I'll just tell the story. My husband got a new truck, and he's been waiting to buy a new truck for a long time. He finally got a new truck, and he kept saying, "Why aren't you driving it?" I thought, "I am not driving that truck until it gets its first ding, because it's your truck." And it got its first ding, and I drive it now. But I mean that because when you invest in something and you care about it, you want it to stay nice. And his new truck was, and it was, we have three kids. We put them through college. We're no different than any other family. We have to watch how we're spending our money, and this felt like a big thing because he wanted to buy a truck for a while. And I did. I wanted it. I didn't want to be the one to get the ding on it. So it sounds silly, but that's what I mean. When you invest in things, you really want things to stay nice as long as you possibly can. Now, I have to say that the ding on Kevin's truck is teeny, 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 tiny, but it might as well have been huge because he was just like, I can't believe it. God, it has a dent. But again, like that bridge cost the taxpayers. And I don't care where the money came. If it comes from the federal or the state or the city, it's coming from the people who pay their taxes, and that's where it's coming from. And it's now going to have to be repaired. Parking lots before plans, bridges before development. I think we have to really start paying attention to those things because master plans are what we lack in the city of Quincy. And a master plan would be able to map these things out and provide an intelligent way of seeing how we're going to phase these projects. Not saying the parking lot's phase one and then phase two is everything else, because that's what they said last night. And you can't, you have no plans to be able to show me anything other than where the parking lot's going. So I think that's where the confusion and the money has been sitting there, $60,000 awarded from the CPA. Nothing has been used. I don't know how much the cost of the statue is. Where did that money come from? Don't know. And then again, when we come down to the facts and matters, there was one person that actually raised their hand and said, wouldn't it make sense not to put the four handicapped parking spaces in front of the Nickerson Post? Wouldn't it make sense to split them and put some of them near the Native American Museum that you're going to put? And they did say they could do that, but that's what I mean. That was the city's engineering plans, not focusing on the Native American Museum, but yet focusing on a parking lot that they're saying will improve the area, and maybe it will, but we need to see the full plan that's doing it. And I encourage people to take a look at chapter 94, section of ch chapter the Public Works Fund, chapter 92, Act of 2004, because that's where the
Okay.
money is coming from.
That's a state regulation.
Yeah, but it was a home run petition that went to the state
I see.
when Granite
Okay.
Links was created in 2004. And it puts the rules and parameters around what that money is supposed to be used for. And they have never used this amount of money before ever on anything, but now they're using it on not Granite Links and not on sidewalks. And well, they're going to do some sidewalks down in Nickerson, not down by this the Nickerson Post and the Native American Museum, but it's mostly a parking lot. So I question that because it's truly the thing that you have to pay attention to in municipal work is how you're doing it, how you're funding it, and making sure you're checking the boxes and it doesn't come back and actually cost. Because if something got repealed or clawed back in any way, it would be the taxpayers that are paying for it. So every time somebody says it's free money if you're using it correctly, but it's not free money. It's money that's being put in because we made a deal with with Granite Links. So it's taxpayers' money. So.
Okay. All right. That's the gist of the Monday night meeting. It'll be Tuesday night, actually, September
It's
8th.
actually Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Yep. So we also have a couple of gifts and donations coming in from Deer Camp and the animal shelter from the Copeland Foundation. So various donors in the Copeland Foundation. So we'll be very thankful to all of those who donate as well. But that will be it. So I do not anticipate this being a long meeting, but I've said that before and it ends up being long. But I hope, I don't. The first meeting typically is not that long, and we'll see how it goes. But we definitely have things on the agenda, and I certainly don't like meetings that are only 5 minutes either. So I know we'll be longer than 5 minutes, but it's there's not a lot. And then I think there'll be committee members that are going to be asking to start scheduling meetings right away as soon as we start.
Yeah, I was wondering, were there any outstanding ordinances or resolutions from the last session that didn't get resolved?
Yeah, I think there are. I'll let my committee chairs
Okay.
bring that to us. I know that. That it's important that I know that all of them have been they're eagerly coming back. In some cases they could have had meetings over the summer, but it's hard because if you're a committee of the whole, it's hard to people's vacation plans and different things that are happening. It's usually best, and it's you're also asking the staff at the city to do it too, and they have to have vacations too. So it's hard to schedule things over the summer. That's why they don't. But in the first meeting, I can promise you they're going to be starting to book some meetings.
Sure. Okay. So again, September 8th, Tuesday, September 8th, 6:30
Six
start
thirty.
at City
Gonna start
Hall.
at 6:30. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
Well,
And I
you're
really
welcome.
appreciate the opportunity to catch up with you.
It's always a pleasure, Joe. You have a great Labor Day weekend. Enjoy your vacation. It's well earned. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much.